This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Do big American companies really need to care about the European economy? From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. Investors in Europe were cheered by some good earnings reports. Yahoo posted a profit last quarter, revenues of more than $1 billion. And this morning, the U.S. Labor Department released the latest Consumer Price Index. That indicator of inflation was up only slightly, 0.1%. Christine Hertzellers is the Chief Investment Officer of Fixed Income at Voya. Hi, Christine.
Good morning.
So what do you take away from the CPI data we got today?
Well, CPI, which is the Consumer Price Index, came in at up 1.7%. So prices are increasing, but the issue is still not as much as the Federal Reserve target of 2%. And if you dig a little deeper into the data, real hourly wages actually fell from last month. So news as expected, but certainly nothing that's going to make the Fed, you know, accelerate raising rates right now.
So this is something that central bankers are going to be paying attention to here in the U.S. going across the Atlantic to Europe. There have been reports that the European Central Bank is looking at more economic stimulus.
Yes. And, you know, overall, Europe is still troubling. They're actually struggling with deflation, meaning the worry of prices going down month over month. The ECB has actually been out in the market buying securities, thinking that this will actually turn into lower loan rates that banks can pass along to European consumers.
So certainly what's happening in Europe has affected the markets, has led to that volatility you describe. We got earnings today from Heineken, for example, a European company, saying very explicitly in its report, the situation, the economic situation in Europe has had an effect on its profits last quarter. This is something that's happening across the continent?
Yes, it is. And the one concern as to why, you know, would the U.S. worry about Europe really is the earnings in the S&P 500. About 40% of those companies' earnings come from the world. But on the positive side for the U.S., only 13% of U.S. GDP is export-related. So the U.S. can kind of go it alone, if you will, because we're mostly a closed economy where the U.S. consumer is the most important thing.
Christine Hertzellers is Chief Investment Officer for Fixed Income at Voya. Christine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Banks have about 9 months to comply with what's called the Volcker Rule. That's part of Dodd-Frank, named after Paul Volcker, the former Federal Reserve chairman. The Volcker Rule says banks cannot own hedge funds or invest for their own benefit. They'll have to stick to helping their customers make money. Simple as it may sound, the Volcker Rule is incredibly complex, but banks have a new tool to help them implement it. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports.
In tall glass buildings from New York to L.A., lawyers for banks are making a big deal out of trying to figure out if banks are following the rules. They're also making a lot of money doing that. Don Lamson is a partner at Sherman & Sterling. He knows the Volcker Rule pretty well because
I wrote the first draft of the Volcker Rule, in fact, which was a page and a half.
It's not, however, a page and a half anymore.
Well, the final regulation implementing the Volcker Rule has ballooned to several hundred pages of small type in the Federal Register.
For banks with hundreds of billions of dollars and thousands of different funds, sorting through all of that is a massive undertaking. This summer, the Fed said 11 out of 20 banks totally failed to meet the last big chunk of Dodd-Frank rules, in part because they weren't thorough enough or made mistakes in their reporting.
There's a lot of gray lines.
Mike Konzel is a fellow with the Roosevelt Institute. He says one reason the Volcker Rule is so complicated is that there are a lot of exceptions to what's okay and what's not. Another reason is a lot of people have sued.
These rules from Dodd-Frank have come under extensive criticism in the courts.
The rules have had to become extra detailed to pass scrutiny. More rule, more work to follow it. So for the Volcker Rule, lawyer Don Lamson decided to make a computer program to do some of the heavy lifting.
The Volcker Assistant. Well, this is a summary screen.
thermometers pop up to tell you how you're doing.
Red simply means the process is ongoing, you haven't gotten to green yet.
The program is basically like TurboTax for banks and lawyers. It also leaves a digital paper trail, recording every time anyone changes anything.
In the past, it was easy for a CEO to say, look, I cannot be held accountable for particular aspects of the operation of my firm because look how complex it is. It's such a big organization.
Rob Marks is CEO of CaseWise Financial Solutions, which helped Lamson make the program.
Every time a change is made or an assessment is altered, it's recorded, so we track everything.
And it lets banks track now and long into the future what investments are legal, not legal, or need to change. And it helps calculate legal exposure as opposed to financial exposure. Lamson says the software is a lot cheaper than a team of lawyers, which may seem threatening to a team of lawyers.
I think we are viewed somewhat as an irritant. The fear among lawyers is that they will become less relevant to the process.
But it looks like they'll still be pretty relevant. Lawyers still need to sign off on what the program comes up with, and half a Dodd-Frank and its rules aren't even finished. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
On the White House website, there's a place to start and sign petitions, and there's a new one calling on President Obama to make December 26th a holiday for government workers. That's the day after Christmas and a Friday, so government workers would get a four-day weekend. This would be a good gesture to improve morale, the petitioner writes. The goal is to get 100,000 signatures, and at last check, there are just 916. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.